We have an interview with Denisai of Blazing Orb about their Tetris-inspired fighting game Spera. Plus, Nintendo fans beg for something new until they get it, and then they complain. Tonight is July 5th, 2015, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
You know, I was worried I was going to be up against something really, like, amazing on television and that nobody would listen to my show. But from what I understand, the U.S. is getting it done, and it's pretty much already over by now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition, a holiday weekend edition here in the U.S., of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live and not watching the apparent beatdown we're putting on our friends across the Pacific on television in sporting things, where they're actually playing football with just their feet. I don't understand that, but somehow we do that. If you're joining us live here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, hello and thank you and welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.vognetwork.com. And I will try to read intelligent comments from chat and make sure that I don't spoil anything for you if you're waiting to watch things later. And if you are logged into the site, you can check in. And I'm actually deciding to change here the way that I do this. Usually I read the first two names of people who've checked in, and that causes people to slam the site and everything. So now I'm just going to read two random names of people who have checked in sometime during the intro. You can check in, get points and loot at VogNetwork.com, just like Sky and SSJ100 Matt. They checked in sometime during the intro of the show. You can check in and get points and loot, or you can listen for a passphrase, hopefully, because I actually now think I forgot to put the passphrase in the last episode, I think. I recorded it. I actually recorded the passphrase, but then I edit the show. I actually listened to the entire show again, and I think I actually never inserted it in anywhere because it was really late when I did it. It was like really, really, it was like 3 a.m. when I was editing the show. So if that happens, I'm going to, if I find out that it actually is not in the show, because I've already listened to the show twice. I'm not going to listen to it a third time. Sorry, I don't like my show that much. I will put a hint in the comments section of the episode on VogNetwork.com so anybody can actually use that hint and check in if they didn't check in live. So free points. Fifth Dream says 3 a.m. The day is just getting started. I agree. That's why I did it at 3 a.m. To register participation for this episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase timer. And I'm going to go ahead and use this opportunity to kind of explain where I've been. This episode was recorded July 5th. It is now July 17th, and you're just now getting it. I did forget the passphrase in the previous episode. That one was Octagon. It's still available, so you can get double points, especially for waiting. There was no show the following week because the reason this show didn't get up in a timely fashion was because I got a muscle spasm in my right shoulder. And one of the hardest things to do in that case is sit at your computer, which is what I am paid to do all day. So sitting here for an hour listening to the show and trying to edit it was not something that was really at the top of my list. I have now seen a doctor. I'm actually on steroids right now for a couple days. I feel great. There is going to be a show this coming week on the 19th. But that's why you're not going to hear anything in this show about the passing of Nintendo President Satoru Iwata. That announcement was made right as I would have gone live, and I had already canceled the show about 30 minutes beforehand. And if you saw my tweet about it, I did put a little Satoru Iwata joke in there, and some people call it a bad taste. Realize that I made that tweet 30 minutes before Nintendo made the announcement, so I didn't know. So I apologize if that offended you. I thought it was funny at the time. 30 minutes later, I didn't think it was so funny, but the announcement still stood, so it's still there. I own it. And then the following week, which because July 24th, 2005 was my first episode. So July 26th will be the 10th year anniversary celebration, which probably won't be too much. So if you want to leave any kind of bumper or anything about 10 years of the Bobby Blackwell Show, you can either call the voicemail line, 1-888-36-GAME-1, leave a voicemail there, or you can send me an MP3. Go ahead and send it to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Don't put any music behind it because I like to string them together, but that option is available, and we will play them on the July 26th show. I will be spending a little bit of time that afternoon at the Atlanta Virtual Reality Meetup at Battle and Brew. We're not broadcasting from there this time. I'm going to be home in time for the show, but realize that's going on if you are in the Atlanta area and want to see some VR. CCP is actually bringing Eve Valkyrie with them to that meetup. So now we're going to go back to the show that we recorded back on July 5th. Thanks for letting me ramble for a little bit. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com, or contact me on Twitter. That works too. So the first story that I'm going to talk about is kind of a continuation of some of the stuff we were talking about yesterday, but this is a third game that has had problems and has been pulled, really the second game that has been pulled because it kind of sucks on the platform they released it on. And this is a game that I enjoyed very much, and also this is a game that I intended to cancel, and then I had the date wrong. And Rob, I hope you're listening. I had the date wrong as to when it renewed, and it renewed this morning. So I am still paying for this game for another month. So I hope that my free company in Final Fantasy XIV does not kick me out on the day that I said I was going to be canceling, because I am there until August now, and I still don't have the expansion. I'm talking about Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, just had its new expansion, Heavensward, which you need to have completed all of the main story content, including all of the patched content, to even access anything behind there. And I have not had the time to do that, and I didn't want to do that on my main character, so I was like, I'm going to quit. And then my credit card got charged for another month. So I'm not quitting yet. Sky says I'm getting kicked out of the free company right now. Thanks. Fifth Dream says, yay, Bobby default stayed. And I still haven't gone back in. I'm going to, because I have stuff I want to like give to my free company. But anyway, that's not why I'm talking about this, even though I am kind of upset about how they're gating content in the new expansion. Obviously, my money is not good enough for them, because I did not spend the hours and hours and hours of doing group raids and stuff to get through the main story content to be able to access the new class that I would have gladly learned and then used it to use the new content. No, this is about a promise they made to a segment of their fan base who wanted to play the game natively on their Mac. Now, it runs in boot camp if you have a Mac. You can boot camp into Windows, but really, if you do have a Mac, it's because you love using the Mac software, the Mac OS and all that stuff, and you love the Mac and Apple experience. You don't like the Microsoft experience. That's why you use a Mac. And there are people that are like that, and you know, that's great for them. And they probably love playing Final Fantasy XIV, but hate the idea of having to boot into that nasty Windows and having to deal with all the crap that Microsoft puts in Windows when they're so used to Mac OS X. So they want to play it natively. And Square Enix says, "We hear you, and we're going to do that." And it's going to come out with the expansion. And then it came out, and then it kind of sucked for people, because unfortunately, Mac hardware ain't the greatest at games. It's great at doing exactly what Apple wants it to do and nothing more. That's kind of been Apple's MO with everything. Like, that's, you know, the iPhone, it's great for everything Apple wants it to do, but it doesn't do that much more than exactly what Apple needs it to do to give the experience that Apple wants you to have. Unfortunately, the Mac version of Final Fantasy XIV kind of sucked. And it sucked for a lot of people. So they pulled it and posted a letter on the Lodestone, which is their website for all their news about Final Fantasy XIV, straight from Square Enix. And they said that we have received a great deal of feedback regarding the performance of the Mac version, as well as various problems which resulted from the information we provided prior to the release. For these issues, we apologize. This is a whole, like, the entire thing is an apology. basically. I would like to discuss the various issues with the client and their underlying clauses. However, as this will make it for a rather long explanation, I think it's best we begin with refunds. So they actually talk about how you can get a refund very early on. Like they're like, we'll tell you why we screwed up and we apologize. But first, let me tell you how you can get your money back. And then if you really want to read about how we screwed up, we're going to tell you how we screwed up. And it's kind of, it's going to be, it's, I haven't really looked at the reaction to this letter because it does actually go into a decent amount of detail, more detail than most gamers care about why it doesn't work and why they made the decisions they did when a lot of gamers, all they see is, I'm not a programmer, but this should be very easy to do. Why can't you do it? You know, my computer, my Mac is based on an Intel processor, and it works on Windows, which is on Intel processors. So it should be very easy to get this to work. And clearly it's not. But you can't tell somebody who doesn't understand computers, which there are gamers out there that they have the computer to play games, and that's it. They don't need to know how it works. There's a lot of people with cars that don't know much about cars, other than the fact they get them from place to place. So they don't care, or they just gloss over when the mechanic tells them, well, you know, your pipe rod that goes from this belt here to this thingy here, it broke and you're going to have to do these fluid changes. Like, they don't know these things. I know nothing about cars. Like, I know about computer hardware, but I know nothing about cars. So when a mechanic tells me about the problems with my car, my eyes just glaze over, just like how, you know, my mom's eyes glaze over when I tell her why her computer's not working right now. And Fifth Dream basically says, sums up the entire thing. The thing they messed up was revealing the wrong specs, which is basically what wound up happening. The biggest problem with the Mac version release, according to this letter, was the significant discrepancy between the performance of the product our development team produced and the expectations our customers had for it, which is due to the lack of information available on our product when sales commenced, as well as other issues. I would like to explain in detail how this happened. Up until the official release of the Mac version on June 23rd, we were working to improve the client's performance. Consequently, the system requirements, which we would have released, were not made available in time, which was a serious problem. Although our development and QA teams tested the client on Mac hardware because of our last-minute efforts to improve performance and the possibility that system requirements might change, we decided to prepare several versions of these requirements, with the one to be released depending on the final result. However, in the chaos leading up to the multi-platform launch of our expansion, we released incorrect requirements, which were not updated prior to the Mac version's official release. So they were like, we could go Tier 1, Tier 2, or Tier 3, with Tier 1 being, like, you know, the lowest spec and Tier 3 being the highest spec. And they released Tier 1, and they actually needed one of the tiers higher. Oops! While the development and operations teams, as well as our entire company, were involved in this mistake, it was I who ultimately made the decision to release the Mac version under these circumstances, and therefore bear sole responsibility, and I sincerely apologize to you all. He's falling on his sword just for you. Because of this situation, many of you purchased a product with your Mac hardware could not run even in the minimum system requirements, resulting in insufficient performance, for which many of you have expressed your dissatisfaction. Had we provided accurate information beforehand, I know many of you would have not purchased the Mac version, which is why we decided to offer full refunds. Once again, I apologize. Like, I think every paragraph has I apologize in it, just so you know. So there was also miscommunication with retailers. The Mac version was made available earlier than intended. Some customers were able to download and play a pre-release build with suffered from performance problems. So the beta got out as well. So the problem here, and Zappy even says, Zappy says this actually, is that shame DirectX is Windows and Xbox only, thanks Microsoft. That is kind of the root issue, the hardware issue, is that the game was built with DirectX. And DirectX is Windows and Xbox only, whereas Mac games use OpenGL natively. I don't know what the PlayStation 4 version used. That might have been just using Sony's Direct rendering, whatever Sony uses, which is also not portable to Mac. But what basically they get then go into the whole thing that, unfortunately, as much as everybody loves their Mac, there aren't that many hardcore Mac gamers out there, which is why you don't see too many Mac games with very high graphic requirements and stuff, because the market just isn't there. As much as we would love the market to be there, as much as the Macs, MacBooks, and Mac desktops are wonderful for the people that love them. Unfortunately, the market is just not there. Same with Linux gaming, really. The market's just not there. So what they wound up doing is instead of redeveloping all of their graphics calls and sound calls, because DirectX also handles audio and other things as well, to OpenGL, which is the more open standard, they decided to use middleware, and they even outsourced this middleware to another company. With regards to our decision to use middleware rather than having native OpenGL, the biggest reason behind this choice was development cost. As mentioned earlier, very few games are sold for Mac systems, and the prevailing option is that the majority of Mac users aren't interested in games. This results in an extremely high risk for development. The nature of Final Fantasy XIV's graphics as an MMORPG are such that even if we were to develop a native OpenGL, it would be exceedingly difficult to provide a level of performance that matched that of a system using DirectX. Though it may be possible in games with less complicated graphics, there would be a much bigger tuning gap to bridge for Final Fantasy XIV. We came to the conclusion that employing the assistance of outside engineers specialized in Mac systems and making use of middleware would be the best road to take in realizing a Mac version. These engineers will continue to roll out dedicated updates, and middleware improvements will also be ongoing. So, essentially, they looked at the numbers, and unfortunately, there's not that many people that buy games, probably because there aren't that many high-end games available for Mac systems. Let's be fair, it's a chicken and egg thing. And I guess Square Enix just didn't want to take the risk, where we hope that other companies do take the risk, and then everybody benefits, because then, hey, now, you know, you do have hardcore Mac gamers, and you can spend money, and they will buy your product and not boot camp into Windows, and everybody will be happy, and money will be flowing, and gamers are not raging on the internet. Tech 2030 says, I feel like people who get into hardcore gaming on Macs eventually turn to PC. I was a hardcore Mac user for 5 or 6 years, and then just built a gaming PC last year after I started playing games a lot more. Fifth Dream says, thanks, Mac users. You wasted resources that could have made the Windows version better. William Murderface asks a good question that I do not know the answer to. So maybe somebody in chat does. How is the World of Warcraft usage on Mac? That could be a useful test case for Final Fantasy XIV. I actually don't know. That's a very good question. I'd love to know that, because I believe there is World of Warcraft client for Mac. I actually have two MacBooks here in the house. They're both for work, so I don't dare install a single game on them. So I actually don't know the answer to your question. I don't know if maybe. So William Verderface says there is a Mac client for World of Warcraft. So there is a Mac client. I have no clue how it works and how many people use it. Tech 2030 said, I played World of Warcraft for a few months on my Mac. It played pretty well. So it worked pretty well. Also, I believe like World of Warcraft's graphics requirements are pretty scaled back, because it is, especially like if it was a couple of years ago, it's a very old system. I mean, you know, very low-end PCs could play World of Warcraft. I believe they've released graphical updates and kind of moved the minimum specs up since then. But Final Fantasy XIV is a gorgeous game, and it requires a beefy PC. My PC almost can't handle it anymore. It's starting to, like, you know, really, like, the fans start going really loud and everything when I get into the main city. So even then, it's a very graphically intensive game, even on low settings. Sky says, the number of people who use it are very hard to get. I don't believe that the Mac client is sold separately. I think it's one of those dual discs. And interestingly enough, all Blizzard games are like that. William Murderface also asked, the question is about how does Apple support it? Because they seem to give, they don't care. I'm changing what he said. They don't care. They seem to not care about hardcore gamers. Apple seems to not care. Doesn't mean they don't. It's just that's the outside perception. So basically they have pulled, I believe they pulled it. They're offering refunds to anybody and everybody that wants one that got the Mac version. They're going to work to get it taken care of. And it's probably one of those things that if things were not so hectic at the launch, this might have been alleviated. I think they were trying to do the Square Enix was trying to do the right thing, trying to hit the lowest system specs possible, so the most people could play it. And they failed in that, and unfortunately didn't communicate the fact that they failed in that until after people had already spent money on it. So they're trying to do the right thing. They have not given up on the Mac version. They are trying to do the right thing. So, and they are falling on the sword, as a Japanese businessman should do, I guess, in this situation. And begging for your forgiveness, by giving you your money back. Or you could sit there and you could wait and just help and beta test it. Be a beta tester, just like us Windows gamers usually are for these type of things. Tech 2030 asks, does anyone know if Apple takes 30% off the Mac App Store as well? That's it's a number that on the iOS App Store, they take 30%, and the developer gets 70%. That's why he's asking that question. But Mac also now has an App Store for the Mac OS X. So, and I don't know the terms of that agreement because I've never filled out that. And he says, I know they have some hardcore games on the App Store like BioShock. So, good luck to Square Enix and all the Mac gamers that I know definitely want to play Final Fantasy XIV natively without going into boot camp. Hopefully they can get it worked out sooner rather than later. So the other story I want to talk about is gamers asking for something, or some gamers asking for something, and then getting which they asked for, and they were like, oh, actually, I didn't really mean it that way. And it's about Nintendo, and there's been a lot of fury directed at Nintendo, because Nintendo, you gotta realize, every time they do E3, they have like this one word that they repeat. This one, like, it's always like disruption was the word a couple years ago, was the word that they would repeat, and innovation and revolution and all that. So they've used these words. Well, this year, the word was transformation. That was the word that they decided they were going to repeat 8 million times during their E3 digital events and interviews and stuff. And one of the things they meant by that was they were going to transform some of their IP. And one of the criticisms that Nintendo always gets is, oh, they make the same game every single time. Oh, wow, there's another Super Mario Brothers. Oh, you're Mario or you're Luigi, and you're stomping on the heads of Goombas, and you're going right and trying to save the princess and get the flags and get the stars. And, oh, they can't do anything new. And oh, you know, here's Zelda. Oh, there's a water temple. We hate the water temple. Do something new. And so they finally do. And we're like, oh, we didn't mean it that way. And that's kind of what this is story is about. Mashable reports that Nintendo was all about transformation at E3 this year, but the most passionate members of the gaming community might balk at their favorites jumping into new directions. If you ask Nintendo of America president and COO Reggie Fils-Aimé about his company, he'd say it's in the middle of a transformative moment. It's a word he used frequently during the press conference, which aired at the start of E3, as well as later when he spoke to Mashable. He says that it's wasn't just referring to Nintendo's big announcements of 2015 that the company is putting its games on a mobile, working on a new console, and building a theme park in Florida. It's also a running theme when it comes to how Nintendo is handling fan-favorite franchises. He says, quote, we're taking our great IP and transforming them and making them new again, making them fresh and appealing to the fan who feels they know the franchise, but we're giving them new things to enjoy, unquote. So the crux of this is around Metroid Prime Federation Force. So Metroid Prime was a critically acclaimed first-person shooter, featured exploration and environmental puzzles. The trilogy of games included in that series were thought of as fondly as a perfect bridge to bring the franchise into modern 3D game worlds. For at least 5 years, fans have been asking for a new entry into the Metroid universe, one that was similar to the originals in quality and plot. So they wanted just an update to the game they played before. So they got Federation Force instead. The game strips out all the single-player exploration in favor of a cooperative shooter. The genre bending goes way too far in the eyes of fans, especially since the trailer doesn't explain how this fast-paced shooter, which is only for the 3DS, fits into the Metroid world. It also has that blast ball, which we saw in the Nintendo World Championships, which was the 3-versus-3 soccer mech game, which they just call Blast Ball. They didn't have the branding on it in Nintendo World Championships. It wasn't until later they were like, oh, yeah, this is a minigame in the new Metroid Prime game. And everybody's like, oh. Now, how mad are fans? The trailer had, at the time of this Mashable article, 7,000 likes and 69,000 dislikes. People don't like this. Quote, what the fan at home saw was something in the Metroid Prime universe that they weren't expecting. The reaction has been negative. There's no sugarcoating it, unquote. That's Reggie. He says it's negative. Quote, this is an example where fans who weren't able to get their hands on the game may be at a bit of a competitive disadvantage. Everyone who has played what we were showing regarding Metroid Prime, they've come across really pleased. My ask is that fans trust us, unquote. And I've actually seen that myself, because like when I attended E3, which I did not this year, and it's funny that this year I have not, and I actually got an email from somebody offering up some of their, like this person who represents freelance writers, offering to write things for my site, my personal site, not Vogue, about what they saw at E3. I politely declined. But when I've been at E3 in the past, like I've seen things and I've played things, and I'm like, that's actually kind of cool. That's really neat. And then I get home and I read the internet, and the internet hates it. It's the worst thing ever. And I'm like, when I'm there in person, it looks great, and I think it's awesome. And the internet just like, no. And in fact, in sense of Metroid Prime Federation Force, there was actually a petition demanding Nintendo cancel the game because they didn't want it. Never mind that other people might want it, but because it was not the game they wanted the game canceled. ActF says, people are just salty that it's called Metroid. If it wasn't called Metroid, people would not give a damn. Dungeonbus says, I think part of the hate was also hoping for a version on the Wii U, and when they didn't get it, rage. SJ100Matt says, oh, Nintendo doesn't do anything new. Oh, wait, you're going to make mobile games and changing their main franchises? That's too much change for me. Dark Tetsuya says, and people wonder why Bobby always says gamers hate everything. I mean, it didn't seem like my cup of tea personally. I'm sure someone would have found it fun. I was actually kind of interested in Blast Ball, which I guess is the mini game in it or something. It's the second game mode. But apparently people want it canceled. Like, we all loved it when it was just called Blast Ball at that Nintendo World Championship. We're like, that looks actually really cool. Like, it was a very positive reaction. And then they said, oh, it's called Metroid Prime Blast Ball. And everybody's like, oh, no. So here's the thing that we're not going to be done with this. It's not the only game that they're toying with in a beloved franchise. There's a new Legend of Zelda on the horizon. And Anuma has both promised big changes from the game's traditional format, even though it was absent from E3. Fizume says, quote, Mr. Anuma have said that he is challenging many of the conventional wisdoms of Zelda gaming in the new Zelda, and that's what we do. We believe that's what we have to do to keep the franchise fresh, unquote. This is actually not the first time this has happened with the Zelda game. 2003. I remember this. The internet, like, we were just seeing blogs and you know, there were internet forums and stuff. Legend of Zelda Wind Waker came out for the GameCube. Now, you got to realize that Space World 2000, they showed a demo, like a concept tech demo of Zelda and Ganon fighting. And it was a very realistic-looking Zelda, and they were like, this is what we're going to be able to do on the GameCube, you know, because the GameCube hadn't come out yet. So that's what fans were like, oh, yeah, awesome. And then Wind Waker comes out, and it's cel-shaded, and it's got, you know, the Toon Link. And everybody's like, no, this is terrible. They were very upset about the cel-shaded animation since they were hoping for a more realistic-looking game. Anubi even described this cycle in a recent interview with Kotaku as the Zelda cycle. He says, quote, basically, as time progresses, negative opinions about The Legend of Zelda turn into positive ones, unquote. Because now, fast forward, you know, 10 years later, 11 years later, we were all like, hey, they're re-releasing Wind Waker. They're putting an HD version on the Wii U. This is awesome. You know, we forget that it was universally, like, it got hated on. Because Nintendo tried something different than what we expected when we kept saying we want Nintendo to do new things with their franchise. And they did. And now, you know, 10 years later, we love Wind Waker. Most people do. I do. But, you know, and that's what they're kind of thinking might happen. But then again, the changes they're making to Zelda is that they're making it more Skyrim-like, which gamers might actually prefer. Whereas Metroid Prime went from exploration and environment puzzles to fast-paced shooter and soccer. Fizume, in closing, says, quote, we believe that in order to propel the franchises forward, we have to be the ones to constantly challenge the paradigms, challenge the conventional wisdom, challenge what we thought was the essence of the particular franchise and a particular form of gameplay, unquote. So enjoy Animal Crossing, Happy Home Academy, whatever that was, or the Animal Crossing Mario Party game. Enjoy those. I know you wanted them to innovate on Animal Crossing, and they did. They're just now making completely different games than the Animal Crossing you wanted. SJ100Matt says, a hack and slash Devil May Cry style Zelda game set in the modern day. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I mean, eventually, Link's going to have to come to the modern world. I mean, Final Fantasy finally came to the modern world. Loki says, I just want NES games back in Animal Crossing. Me too, but unfortunately, we have a new way of making money. Tech 2030 says, I just want a new 2D Metroid, but I guess Axiom Verge will have to do for now. Honestly, I think that the indie developers and stuff that are basically making the games that remind them of the original youth, I think that they're doing a much better job than, you know, Nintendo going back and making, you know, more, you know, another Metroid game. You know, I bet that Mighty Number 9 is going to be a lot better than Mega Man 9 and Mega Man 10, you know, which was trying to bring back the 2D side-scroller that we remember. But, you know, I think that, you know, breaking out and getting out of the corporate mold, that's actually where you should be looking to get these type of games instead of saying it has to be Metroid. Because ultimately, okay, the character name's different, but if the game plays well and it reminds you, there's where you're going to go next. Give those indies a chance. ActDev says, I want a new Leaf, Animal Crossing, new Leaf for the Wii U, but on a bigger scale and with better online. And you see, that's very vague. That doesn't tell them anything. Bigger scale, what does that mean? Now you can have 15 villagers instead of 9? Like, what? Nobody knows what bigger scale is. So they're like, well, we're gonna do this, and we're gonna expand this portion of the gameplay. And everybody's like, no. No, 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 no. We don't know what we want, but we know we don't want that. So we actually have an interview about something that I consider the spiritual successor to a game that some people in the chat room we played a lot. I don't know how many other people have heard about it, but this is a puzzle fighting game, and it was shown for the first time at MomoCon. We are still playing interviews from Memorial Day weekend back in May, or the week after Memorial Day. MomoCon wasn't on Memorial Day weekend this year. It was the week after. But back in May, I did 8 interviews. We are almost done with them. We have like 2 or 3 left or something like that. And this is a game. It's called Spira, I think. It's Greek, or it's Latin. Spaera. It is Latin for sphere. They actually do say that in the interview. And this is essentially it's a fighting game played with Tetris. So yes, it will remind you of Puzzle Fighter. I actually compared it in the interview to Tetranet. If anybody remembers Tetranet. So it is actually in beta now. This was the first time they ever showed it in public. And the game, actually, you can sign up for the beta now. We'll give all the URLs and stuff. So we're going to go back to MomoCon for this interview about Spira. That's how I'm going to pronounce it, even though I'm probably pronouncing it absolutely wrong. From MomoCon, you're participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
So you guys know I'm into puzzle games and I'm terrible at fighting games, but when I see a fighting game that's also a puzzler, I'm puzzled and I want to learn more about it. So I'm here with Dennis Tsai from Blazing Orb to talk about Spira. So tell us a little bit about this game.
Well, Spira is basically our take on puzzle fighting. That is kind of a genre that's been ignored a little bit in the recent times. It's like a mixture of Tetris and Street Fighter, where you do have the standard blocks coming in and different blocks that we've added, and along with skills and meter management and 8 characters that you can choose based on your playstyle.
And before Alexei Pajitnov comes in with his lawyers, there are blocks with 5 blocks, not just 4. And they're not calling it Tetris. Don't sue them. So how is this different? Because a lot of people hear puzzle fighting and they think Capcom's Puzzle Fighter, which was amazing. How is this different from that?
Well, the biggest difference we have is that we allow our players to actually have a lot more fine-grained control with the way they do attacks and the way they issue magical spells. So they get the feeling and the thrill of a fighting game, you know, when you do that super move, that it actually affects, you know, the other person's board, visually speaking, and, you know, actual gameplay-wise, you actually see the big effect.
And this does remind me a little bit, for people that have, you know, like maybe followed my podcast for a long time, if you remember Tetranet, did you ever get to play Tetranet?
No, I haven't.
Tetranet was like, it was probably 15 years ago. And it was basically Tetris, where you battle like up to 6 other players. This does remind me a little bit of that as well. So this is a, you know, to me, just me looking at it for the past 5 minutes, it's a worthy successor. This is running on PCs?
Yes, currently it's PC. We are looking to port to consoles. Nothing in the mobile space yet because it's not really, I guess, tailored for that kind of control scheme. There is, you know, you do need a little bit of the Twitch controls from...
Yeah. And this is online multiplayer?
Yes, it's fully online enabled. It has ranks and leaderboards, and you can run through the Bronze League, Silver League, etc., just like modern online games.
And it also has local multiplayer as well, couch multiplayer?
Yes, that's one thing that we grew up on, and yes. We really, really sorely miss it. We don't like that games force you to play by yourself. You got friends, you play with friends.
It's like you're a part of my podcast, because I've been saying the same thing. So you said it's an open beta right now?
Yes, that's correct. It's an open beta for at least two more months,
okay.
So that we can kind of flesh out the online. We got to make sure that, you know, the ranking system's working properly and people are being matched up to, you know, equal ranks so that they're not getting destroyed and, you know, not having a good time in general.
So where can people get into this?
It's easy. Just go to www.blazingorb.com and sign up for the beta. You'll get a link to download the game, and that's it.
So are you going on, like, Steam Greenlight or anything or in the future, or what's the plans for the future there?
Well, we're kind of open to everything at this point. It's a test run. This is our first event. We've never, ever shown this game in public, and the reception's been pretty good. So... we'll try to do a green light. I think it might work if we can get more people to, you know, be aware of the game and everything. And it will definitely be on consoles at some point, though. So make sure to look out for that.
All right. Yeah, there's actually been, you know, a big line for this. You know, always people standing behind this every time I've walked by. So I actually haven't had a chance to try it yet, but I'm going to watch it and want to do the interview. Good luck to you guys. BlazingOrbs.com?
No S.
No S. BlazingOrb.com. And go check that out. How do you spell the name of the game here?
S-P-A-E-R-A.
And so that's Greek, you said?
It's Latin for spear.
Latin.
Yeah.
See, now you're getting cultured while fighting your buddies in Tetris.
That's right.
All right. Good luck, guys. Thanks so much for spending some time.
Thank you.
So there you have it, BlazingOrb.com. Already had two people in chat, or at least one, already signed up for the beta, and he's downloading the beta right now. So check that out, and maybe I'll get it too real quick, and maybe we can play some. But yes, I felt that it seemed like a worthy successor to Tetranet, and which is apparently still around, because no surprise, because Tetranet was all peer-to-peer servers, so there was no centralized. So if you can get the client to run, you've got the server too, and you can have a Tetranet match. In the community that I've always been running in, you know, here that became VOG, but in other places, every like 5 years or so, we'd like all pick it up and like just play it like constantly for like a couple days and then forget about it for a couple years. If you want to call in, I'm actually thinking now's the time. So I'm opening up the phone lines. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Toll-free in North America. I'm sure that you've got something to say about Nintendo. I'm sure that you do, that you don't like where they're going, or you like where they're going. Maybe you want Happy Home Academy for Animal Crossing, and that, you know, we shouldn't be petitioning Nintendo to cancel games that don't exactly match what we want. Or maybe you do. Maybe you wrote the petition. I'd love to talk to you and have you give your side. Dark Tatsuya was talking, you know, going back to about like spiritual successors and stuff. He says, I did see a Kickstarter for a spiritual successor to F-Zero. It actually looked pretty legit. Only things missing were the characters and music. There's a lot of, you know, there was a couple. I think Radial G is the one that I've seen, which I believe, I mean, it's already out of like Kickstarter and Greenlight, and it's already been through all that stuff because it was last year, because it was made for the Oculus Rift initially, and then they made it a monitor version. That one was more kind of a spiritual successor to Wipeout, probably more, but it sure felt like an F-Zero. Agdev says, F-Zero clones are like Splenda. They look like it, maybe taste like it, but they're not like the original stuff. Sometimes that's not a bad thing. So we do finally have a call on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Akdef.
Akdef, what's up, man?
So, about those Metroid Federation Force haters.
Yes. The haters. All right, your words.
Yeah, they're hating. And I said it in the chat, you already said it. If it wasn't called Metroid, or if it didn't have the Metroid title on there, people wouldn't give a damn, a single damn, about it existing. But oh no, it's called Metroid. Well, oh my god, it is Metroid. Oh my god, we gotta hate it. It's gonna be bad. It's gonna be the worst game ever. Even if people haven't even tried it yet, because I don't recall it being on the show floor. At least I don't remember people talking about it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly, but
it is a 2016 title. It's one of their many 2016 titles.
Yeah, and it looks interesting. A team shooter for the 3DS. So it's at least it seems like fun, seems entertaining, but no, it is Metroid. It doesn't have Samus. Oh my god!
No, but it probably has other things from Metroid World. But probably why they did that, the marketing team probably said this game's not going to sell unless we attach it to an existing franchise. You know, because they didn't think, and I think I think Tech 2030 brought up something that maybe I think Splatoon is the first brand new IP in like 14 years that Nintendo has put out. So they're probably scared of, you know, just attaching this and just making it a game that's a new IP. They learn, you know, you have to attach it to an existing IP. That's why they're like, oh, we want to make a tennis game. It's called Mario Tennis. Oh, we want to make a board game. That's Mario Party. You know, and that's kind of how they've rolled, because they think that people won't buy it unless it's attached to a property. But then the people who love that property won't buy it because it's not the game that they expect.
And we can also talk about Codename Steam. Mm-hmm. That's also a new IP, though probably it wasn't as successful as probably Splatoon, mm-hmm. in terms of people playing it and people buying the game. Mm-hmm. But still, it's something new, and people should give it a try. It's just that simple. If it isn't good, well, you can also read reviews and all that stuff. You're going to know if the game sucks. Right now, we only have some screenshots and a little video, mm-hmm. like in less than 3 seconds. So we barely know stuff about the game.
I mean, we know about Blast Ball because we watched
only
people
that.
Play it. But and that looked great, and everybody loved it because it was just called Blast Ball. And then 2 days later, they're like, "It's Metroid Prime Blast Ball," and everybody's like, "Oh, boo!"
and even on the Nintendo World Championships, they promoted it. I don't remember who said it. It's soccer with guns. It's what soccer needed to be attractive for Americans. And that's not my words. They said it on Nintendo World Championships.
Yeah. And then Tech 2030 says, same thing happened with Kirby's Epic Yarn. It was originally a new IP, and they ended up attaching Kirby to it.
Yeah. Nintendo has done this since ever.
Yeah.
And then one of the most recent examples, at least people that most remember, it's Epic Yarn. It was going to be only Prince Fluff, that's the second character in the game. Mm-hmm. And then they later attached Kirby, so it had a more recognizable name to it. But yeah, it's not something new also, so people need to understand that. Mm-hmm. And again, people need to give it a try, at least wait for it to come out. If it sucks, then yeah, you can trash it all if you want.
Yeah.
But like I said, we rarely know anything about it, and at least from what we've seen, it looks at least a little bit interesting. So it's not like the end of the world. We may get and it's something I talked about on many so other games that get re-released or get like a spin-off, spin-off like this one. And it maybe help to promote a new game, or at least to capture interest for maybe a new Metroid on the Wii U, or maybe on the future NX.
And I mean, if we're going to petition about getting games not being made, why can't we petition against Call of Duty? I mean, why can't we get that crap off? Why do we have to do the stuff that's like not like anything else on the market? Why can't we go after the one that's like everything else?
Because people like that game. Also,
I don't care. So. People will like Federation Force too, but the Metroid Prime fans don't care.
Maybe, but it's oversaturation also, because we have so many games like Call of Duty. We have also Battlefield. We have also done so many
petition
shooter
them all
games.
Away. Petition them all away. Everybody complains about Destiny. If we had petitioned that away, it wouldn't have happened. We're trying to save people. We're trying to save people. You know, another game that was spun off of they thought they had to attach an existing IP to it, and they didn't. They wound up not really having to. But they were initially worried that, oh my God, this game's not going to sell unless there's a recognizable character. But, you know, what does Spyro have to do with Skylanders?
Oh, yeah, that also, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Skylanders was initially a spinoff. It was a Spyro the Dragon game because they thought that they wouldn't sell anything unless it had a recognizable character. And now most people who play Skylanders have no clue who Spyro the Dragon is.
And I remember also people getting, mad about it because, oh my God, why they attach a Spyro's thing to that. It looks like a gimmick and all that stuff.
It is
and
a gimmick. Look,
it is a gimmick. It but a gimmick. Look at it right now. It's fairly successful.
Yes, it's very successful. Least.
So, yeah, it, at least they didn't have to, but probably because, well, at least we can hook the Spyro fans, even though they did get mad, but yeah, it's something that happens and always has happened and probably will still happen in the future. Publishers, companies, developers will attach the name just to get more sales. But my point still stands in that, yeah, the game may not be like the main franchise, but if it's good, then we can give it a try.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for so much longer than I do, and I'm sure they've got a lot of opinions on all this stuff. So Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. So are you going to sign my petition to stop Call of Duty from being made?
Just because I don't like it?
Yes.
Well, yes, that sounds like it would anger Loki, so absolutely I'll sign your petition.
Excellent.
What do I care? People can spend their money on whatever
they
want.
Hey, I would totally agree about ending Call of Duty if it had a bunch of intergalactic soccer and had nothing to do with wars. It was just running around in mech suits and, you know, doing stuff.
Can we sign a petition to end Call of Duty DLC? Because I'll sign that.
So basically we're signing a petition to end Titanfall.
Well, sure. Hey, let's be honest, though. Call of Duty DLC is not the worst. Other games are a lot worse. They have, like, Call of Duty is like four pieces of DLC if you're excluding all the, irrelevant custom skins for your guns that no one ever sees because you're running around super fast and you're not going to actually see that small little icon that you have on your gun.
And we're going to get up into some of the worst offenders later on tonight.
Raginator called it Call of Duty.
Oh, well, of course he did.
So apparently we sportsed harder than other people.
USA, USA.
Yay for sportsing.
Yay, sports.
They did the thing.
Yes. So Rob, you were the one calling for them to innovate in Animal Crossing, and then they did. How do you like your call for them to innovate?
Yeah, I should have been more specific, huh? I was hoping that they might take the Animal Crossing formula and shake it up a little bit, and maybe instead of giving us, relatively the same game over and over with some new features, maybe we'd get something a little different, maybe something a little more always connected, maybe some more seamless feeling worlds, something that doesn't feel so, like the mall was like a completely separate thing, the island was a completely separate thing, maybe something that doesn't feel so disjointed, like all these parts, like maybe the game could become like a whole somehow, like,
Here's my idea.
I know you love specifics, but what they ended up doing at E3, not a fan, but I mean, I'm not going to sign any petition. I'll wait until the game comes out, until I make a full opinion on it, getting to hopefully play a demo or at least, maybe seeing a live stream or something like that. And if I don't care for it, I'll vote with my wallet. But right now, my wallet is not feeling the burn on what I saw at E3. It is not feeling the burn.
Bobby, your verbal fumble just gave me an idea of a neat crossover. Animal Crisis. Post-apocalyptic Animal Crossing.
Yes!
I take that.
Originally, I had a concept of like an animal slum, basically, the Conker's Bad Fur Day of Animal Crossing.
Do we finally get to realize Tom Nook as the mafia boss?
But perhaps, or maybe Isabel will show her dark side. I don't know. We'll see.
Isabel's running the underground.
I thought Rossetti was running the underground, or is he just her henchman?
No, he's just there to yell at you. But I did tell you that I managed to get into Rossetti's house one time, right?
No.
He has a full working bathroom with stalls and everything in his house. You can sometimes find the manhole cover open and you can go in. And then he'll yell at you to get out.
Wow. I never played that. Maybe that needs to be a whole game. Break into Rossetti's house.
See, that I might play. That's more interesting than the whole, like, amiibo cards on the 3DS. Like, the minute they started talking about all the I'm like, no, I tuned out. I'm done. Yeah.
You know, it was way better when they did that before with that barcode scanner thing that they had.
Yes. Still have game cards for that thing. Like, you scan, like, 30 cards and you got, like, Balloon Fight.
Yeah, that blew my mind, how, like, you could scan, like, what, 15 cards or whatever it is, and you'd have, like, some of those old-school 8-bit titles were, like, printed on cards.
I don't understand why they can't give those away. I mean, like, who cares if they're on Virtual Console now? People bought them so much, so they've made their money, and then some, and then some, and then some more. Just put it back in there, because that's going to get people to really buy that game again.
People are still buying the game even without it, so...
Well, let's see how much they buy this new game that comes out.
See, I love that barcode scanner thing because it's like, oh, they're like, this is awesome. I can scan these 15 cards to get a game. And I'm like, yeah, that's what we used to have to, you know, we waited for cassette tapes. And like if one of your cards got ripped, you couldn't have the game in it. It's just like cassette tapes. You remember those days, Rob?
We used to type them in from the back of magazines.
That's right.
Difference between a capital O and a zero. Well, sucks to be you.
Oops.
Yep.
So would Splatoon have done better if it was called Metroid Splatoon? Because, I mean, obviously, like, there's ink and, I don't know, like, they're jellyfish is what Metroids are. So jellyfish have ink, so it fits.
I think Splatoon would have done better if they had called it Splatoon. Pick Team Cat or you're a jerk. That's what they should have done.
Yes.
Couldn't believe that only 38% of people were Team Cat. What's that about? That should have been a little closer to 50-50, don't you think?
It should have been more. I mean, have you not been on the internet?
And I couldn't believe that even though Team Cat won 51% of the games beforehand, which granted is really close, but it was still a win. It was a squeaky, you know, meowy victory. But they still they lost because more people picked dog. I don't. It's another one of those things. When you say what is it about Nintendo's online that doesn't make sense, Rob? I'm just going to point at that. I'm just going to say, how did Team Dog win? It's conspiracy.
Because it's popular vote and not electoral college.
This is not the Everybody Votes channel.
The people that pick Dog are the ones that are going to play Metroid Federation Force.
That's right. Team Dog, you're the problem.
Clearly, you're the problem. Clearly the uninformed consumer.
I'm just picking a fight because I know a ton of my friends went Team Dog, so I don't even care.
I'd have been Team Cat, but I hadn't gotten Splatoon yet.
Oh, it actually, you know, all that crap aside, it actually
I saw a game bus today that was all... Splatooned out on it. They actually had like the whole thing was just all Splatoon on the outside.
I'm really happy to see an original IP doing very well for Nintendo.
Yes.
You know what? It was a great idea. It was a new spin on a classic type of game. You know what? Props
exactly.
I may have my beef with some of the online stuff, and I still do, and I still wish some of that was. But you know, is it still a solid 9? Yes, and that's.
I would be totally happy for them to follow that up with another IP like Blast Ball, and considering that its own IP and not. Rolling in the Metroid Prime for no apparent reason.
All right. So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Well, you can probably hear, because he interjected, even though I was trying to keep his presence a secret, but we're being visited by intern Drew tonight, who hasn't visited the show in, what was the last time? It's been a very long time, intern
Drew. It's been a couple years.
It's been a few years at least. So in honor of intern Drew, we are going to bring back a classic OLR segment that I'm confident we haven't done in at least a year. Probably longer. It's probably been more like 2 years. So we're going to get to that tonight as well. We'll also talk a little bit about Nintendo NX rumors. Kickstarter, big buzz this week, especially when Concept launching a new Kickstarter for another game everybody wants to see come back. Well, a reimagining of a classic franchise everyone wants to see come back. When Mighty No. 9 isn't even out yet. Which some people are okay with that. Some people think that's kind of controversial. We're going to get into that and where y'all stand on the issue in just a little bit here on OLR.
All right. Have a good show. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you as always, Bobby. Hey, DragonCon, 2 months away.
That's right. Everybody get your tickets. It's not sold out yet, unlike PAX.
It is not. I actually finally just remembered to get my ticket. Like, I don't know why I thought I bought it like 3 months ago, but I was like, oh crap, I still have a ticket to Dragon Con. I should probably take care of that. So, but we're good. I officially have my ticket.
There we go. Everybody come out Labor Day weekend. Don't go to PAX. Go to Dragon Con.
Don't go to PAX. Don't go to PAX. You just stand in line all the time.
OLR's up next. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So that's it for me. I'll be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can also leave a voicemail or a bumper on the toll-free number, which is 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, or you can submit questions on my website or here at VOG. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is obviously not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much. Dark Soccer, Dark Tetsuya, Hecht, Ronma, Sky, VXJSNXV, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next, and Loki, Act Deft, Aspen, Bacon Bits, Brad from Pod Culture, Bird, The Blue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric K, Fantaz, Hitstun, Kaijudo, Kazan, Melt to General, MXT, Raginator, SJ Winner, Matt, Tech2030, Tiger Claw, William Murderface, and Zappy. That is it for me. I'll be back next week. Let's not cancel any games while we're gone. Don't cancel any games this week. No petitions. Just accept what Nintendo gives you. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.